The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, it's an up all night, sleep all day Wednesday edition. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Crudy, great to be with you as always, my friend. Rich working hard on the board. Thank you. Of course, our fair audience, happy, happy hump day to us all. A lot going on today. I can't wait to dive in.
Buddy, it's like furious motion the last 15 minutes. And then suddenly it's like the teacher walks in. The audience intrudes upon us. And they see whether or not we finished our homework.
Very rarely. It's what do they say? It's like you're building an airplane as it's taking off.
Well, Tom, of course, we've got to be ready for reactive to the breaking news. And the breaking news, it could happen at any moment, Tom. A verdict. The Trump jury is out. We're waiting on a verdict.
MSNBC reporting right now, Crudy, judge dismisses jury for the day after more than 4 hours of deliberation. The day is done.
Seems like they had a busy day of deliberations. We'll put that back till the 4 o'clock hour. Dom, leading local, though, and we had to scamper a little bit for consensus as to what the lead would be, and perhaps not the most important story in the state of Wisconsin today, but here is what has captivated the panel's attention. Right-wing activists try for a second time to recall Assembly Speaker Robin Foss. You found this one at the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman, the fine journalist. And I would point out, Dom, this has got to be the most futile, pettiest effort in a long damn time. Maybe ever? Maybe ever?
Ever. It seems a little like a waste of time. To a degree. I mean, it seems like they could do other things.
And it makes for such strange bedfellows. I mean, we got Donald Trump, Mike Lindell, Steve Bannon, former corrupted Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, and your other girl, Janelle Branchon. They've all come together against the most powerful, longest-serving Republican Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin's history.
Because he's not mega enough?
Oh, buddy, I am thinking this might be one of the best leads we've had in a long time. A good long time. Greatest radio show ever, only with leads like this. I'm gonna lead the timeline of the election for you, Dom.
Okay, all right. I'll wrap it up.
I'll do a little of the light work here. Reading aloud, my strength on a Wednesday.
Yes.
A group of right-wing activists. See, I've already screwed it up. We gotta find a different lead.
Bring your ankle out of the blocks? Come on, man.
I'm playing hurt. I was up late. I've been up all night. I should be sleeping.
Rage tweeting all night, Crudy?
A group of right-wing activists, enraged by Assembly Speaker Robin Foss's failure to appease their calls for more aggressive response to the claims of election fraud, and their demand that he fire the chief state elections official, has for the second time filed signatures to force a recall election of Robin Foss. I love this plan.
More aggressive response than January 6th? What are you asking for?
Dom D. Group tried to recall Foss earlier this year, submitting more than 10,000 signatures in support of the efforts in March. However, that effort failed because those 10,000 signatures did not all come from the proper district, and which district the signature should come from has caused some confusion amongst the recall practitioners, petitioners, and officials at the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because the map under which Voss was elected had been declared unconstitutional, while the new map won't go into effect until this fall's election. The group, the recall group, gathered signatures from the district Voss currently represents and the new district created under the new maps.
Just to be safe.
And the group also gathered signatures from various other parts of the state, which were immediately declared invalid. That was the first effort. They've learned their lessons. On Tuesday, the group announced it had gathered about 9,000 signatures. This is Recall Voss 2.0 here, Dom. And there must be 6,850 valid signatures. And the fact that I've stored that in my memory bank somewhere, I know that. I know that conversationally now. Submitted to force a recall election in the district. We are highly confident we have a sufficient number, said former corrupted Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman outside the WEC offices Tuesday afternoon. I feel quite confident we mentioned that, Dom. And Voss is the longest serving assembly speaker in state history. He served in the legislature, representing a district outside of Racine since 2005, and is speaker since 2013, presiding over the state's Republican Party's decade-long stranglehold on the legislative power. Yeah, that gerrymander did wonders for him, Dom. However, that doesn't satisfy the recall Voss people, does it?
Most powerful
Republican, we'll see that. And we'll double recall your ass. You're a double secret probation.
Trudy, however, right-wing activists have turned against Voss in recent years, claiming that he has not sufficiently responded to their allegations that the 2020 presidential election was stolen.
I thought he hired Gableman.
Gableman, for example, Redmond writes, was hired by Voss following the election to search for evidence of fraud or misconduct after he spent more than a year and more than $1 million in legal fees without finding any credible evidence of fraud. Voss fired him. Since the firing, Gableman has joined activist efforts to oust Voss. Now, Gableman, Crudy, as a side, he spent more than a year and more than $1 million in legal fees, and he found no credible evidence of fraud. But what was his recommendation anyway?
He thought the state of Wisconsin should strongly consider throwing out the 2020 elective results. Decertifying? I don't think there's a term for it, Dom. What was his advocacy?
It's called disarray. Crudy, Voss also resisted efforts by some of the assembly's furthest right members to hold a vote to decertify the results in the 2020 election, a legal maneuver that experts have said is unconstitutional and impossible, yet members continue to push for a vote. In 2022, a primary challenge against Voss was nearly successful. Voss beat his opponent, Adam Steen, by just 260 votes. In that primary race, Steen was endorsed by former President Donald Trump, who recorded robocalls on behalf of Steen.
And technically also by yours truly. I endorsed Adam Steen in that primary.
You and Trump were on the same side of that. Aside from Trump, the effort against Voss has also gained the attention of Mike Lindell, Crudy's buddy, the My Pillow guy, who has regularly spread conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. The efforts to oust Voss have frequently been marred by mismanagement. Mismanagement! The previous attempt to recall him failed because of thousands of invalid signatures. The State Ethics Commission has also accused a number of figures associated with Steen's campaign, including State Rep. Janelle Brandgen, of felony violations of state campaign finance laws. If the group has collected enough signatures this time, a recall will kick off a bizarre series of elections in Voss's Racine area district this summer. Tuesday was the last day the petitioners could file a challenge. Now that the signatures have been filed, Voss has until June 7th, to file a reply in which he can object to the validity of the signatures. The petitioners then have until
he'll object
to respond to Voss's reply, and then the WEC has 31 days after the petitions are filed to determine if they are valid. The commission already has a regularly scheduled meeting on June 27th, and the deadline for action is June 28th. Oh, Crudy, it's all falling into line here. If the petition is successful, state law requires that the recall election be held the sixth Tuesday after the WEC rules.
I got to use fingers and toes here. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. The state law required the recall election be held on the sixth Tuesday after the WEC rules, which would put the election on August 6th. However, if a primary is required, which is likely because Voss is being challenged by members of his own party, the primary will be August 6th, and the recall election would take place 4 weeks after that on September 3rd. But wait, there's more, Crudy. Voss is also up for re-election in the fall, and even if he's recalled, his term is almost over, and he would remain eligible to be re-elected. Under this timeline, Crudy, Voss could be on the recall primary ballot on August 6th, on the regular primary ballot August 13th, on the recall general ballot September 3rd, and on the general election ballot November 5th. The Republican Party is in disarray. Henry Redmond over at the Wisconsin Examiner .com. Well done, sir. Thank you for that very, very informative timeline.
You know, when I met Lindell and the recall Racine crew, I did ask the question, who's your candidate? You know, because it's just not that you get to remove a guy. Somebody right. has to beat a guy, right? So we haven't even seen if they're going to introduce Adam Steen, the alleged felon, as their candidate.
Do you think maybe that should be resolved prior to this going forward? I mean, they were steering money to the county parties so they could get around individual campaign finance limits as legislators to make this happen. Of course, who else was involved? Donald Trump's super PAC also was part of this little party.
Well, let's not forget, he endorsed your girl, Janelle Branchon, this week in her assembly primary because she's got another election denier in the primary against her, Senator Dan Knodel, taking his lumps and falling back to the assembly, taking one for the team. Well, when you're on the wrong side of Trump, you're certainly going to take something.
I don't know what game they're playing or what field they are on, but it is something to see.
Here's the secret, Tom. They don't know either. More devil's advocates.
That makes total sense then. Thank you, Michael.
Let's just jump right in.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but money is money.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. Cell phone lines are open for your take, talk, or text at 844-967-2789. Crudy, General Sentinel also had a little bit on this Voss recall piece as well. I want to give a little word out for Voss. He had something to say about it. Rachel Hale reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He said that the recall Voss organization, quote, engaged in election fraud on a massive scale. He said of the first recall attempt, signatures were forged, including those of children. Recall signers were lied to and threatened into signing, and out-of-state felons were used to gather signatures. Once again, we look forward to rooting out any criminality and ensuring that anyone who participates in an effort to defraud Wisconsin voters is held accountable. Tell it to the guy you're voting for.
Stop the steal. Stop the steal, says Robin Voss. Well, that, of course.
On the tail end of what was the envelope, the mailers that Voss sent out. Remember, he sent out mailers last week. If anybody comes up and says, hey, would you like to sign this petition to get rid of Voss? Call the sheriff. That's what he told them. These guys, man, are you kidding me?
Now, do you think they did the math right this time? the recall petitioners.
I would think so. I mean, they have nothing but time, apparently. And what a waste of time. I mean, why not?
But Michael Gableman, apparently the spokesperson for this organization, I'm not at all convinced they've made the threshold this time either. Not that's, legitimately. That's not without the fair. Mickey Mouses and the forgeries.
Well, I mean, you got to think they went over it with a fine tooth comb this time.
Less convinced. Have you met this crew? I mean, they're putting Voss on the ballot four times when he was already on the ballot. They could have put all this effort. In, what if they'd have simply gone out there and knocked doors for someone they propose as a ballot alternative to Robin Voss on, let's call it, the August 13th primary ballot? What if they'd have just two recalls later? What if they'd all those doors they knocked, all those people they talked to, what if they had a slightly different plan? Let's vote for, let's call it, alleged felon Adam Steen. Let's just say he's their guy. Because at this point, they haven't even announced the candidate. They put zero effort into actually beating Robin Voss. You beat the man at the ballot box, not at the recall petition.
Recall Robin Voss. I'm not sure what step two is. And step three is glory. See, recall Robin Voss. Work on step two. Step three, glory. What's step two?
But I mean, literally, if you roll out Adam Steen, an alleged felon, and I'm sure that sells on the MAGA base sign. And literally that might be who they're trying to win over, because what is the crime? You know, the alleged crime. Robin Voss's alleged crime. Well, he's not loyal enough to Trump. He won't decertify the 2020 election. He won't
do something that cannot be done and throw out all the votes in Wisconsin.
If he just ripped the time-space continuum or invented, I mean, the little baby on Family Guy's got a time-traveling device. Why don't you, Speaker Voss?
Oh, wow. These are our legislators.
Huh? Here's a different one, Tom. Let's throw it out there. The judge in the Act 10, don't know if you know this, fine audience. I'm sure Dom caught a headline or two, but the Act 10, Scott Walker's bomb, right? You recall. Everybody recalls. Set off the uprising here in the state of Wisconsin. The 100,000s that turned out. Some camped out in that Capitol building for weeks.
Yeah, and if Scott Walker could deal with those crazy lefty protesters, then he can deal with ISIS. Freedom.
Didn't he also vow to wreak havoc? Because I do recall I greeted him on his way back to Wisconsin as a failed presidential candidate and said, Scott, you know, now that you lost, will there be, you know, any signs of contrition, any olive branches offered to your opponents, or will it be more wreaking havoc, sir?
We're gonna continue to do what we've always done.
And he rolled his eyes back in his head. I mean, I could see his eyes roll all the way, closed his lids, rolled them back, and then answered the question to everyone not named Crudy at the presser. Like, if you, like, that guy doesn't exist. I don't even see you over there.
He thought that was God talking to him again.
And before the, you know, the insufficient answer was given, we're done here. And his body guy shut down the press conference and he fled.
You wreck all the press conferences, Mike.
Quite a coward that guy was. Anyways, no, Act 10. Yes, well, Act 10. Here's the question before you and the audience, 844-967-2789. Apparently, the Dane County judge overseeing a lawsuit to overturn the most controversial law in recent state history, you know, the Act 10, appears on a 2011 petition to recall former Wisconsin Gubernator Scotty Walker. He signed the recall petition against the author of Act 10, Dom. Now, Jacob Frost, who was appointed to the Dane County Circuit Court in 2020 by Democrat Governor Tony Evers, and that the same year they stole the election from Trump, Dom, appears to have signed a petition to recall former Republican Governor Scott Walker over his signature legislative effort that all but eliminated collective bargaining abilities for most public workers. And his signature, that's Frost, the judge here, appears on a petition next to the address he lived at in 2011, according to Property Records. Conservative radio host Dan O'Donnell of WISN AM first reported Frost's signature on the petition. Oh, what a little journalist you've turned into. You election denier, you. Talking about Dan O'Donnell. You know, we have history. Frost, who did not immediately return phone calls or an email from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said Tuesday he plans to issue a ruling in the coming weeks on a motion to dismiss a lawsuit challenging Act 10, the Walker-era law that sparked massive protest and reshaped Wisconsin's political climate for years afterward. And perhaps was the genesis of the greatest radio show ever, right, Tom?
That's when we came around, man. That was the time.
Oh, absolutely. Dom and Crute, up all night, sleeping all day. No, we're broadcasting. Barely. Come on, man. You got to say more than that. Yeah, we've been around since that.
It's been a long time. I have an opinion on this, Curdy. I'm going to let you know on the other side. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it's a Wednesday. I will be confused for the entirety of this week. I feel quite confident.
I'll be honest with you. I thought today was Thursday for a bit today.
You were hopeful.
I remain an optimist, Michael. If I'm anything, it's an optimist.
Welcome to Wednesday. Now, Dom, a rarity for you, but before the break, you said you might have a opinion on something.
I have an opinion. This Walker recall petition, apparently signed by a judge who is overseeing the challenge to Act 10. My initial reaction
Should he recuse?
Hell no. Yeah, and? I mean, what if you came out and said, oh my God, we found out this guy, this judge, he voted for Tom Barrett. Yeah, and? It's a recall petition. It's a vote against or a vote for. It's exercising his right to vote. He's deciding to recall the guy. It's along the same line. I mean, it's not a vote per se. But if he signed a petition to have someone be on the ballot, would that be objectionable? These are politicians that are running for office. He did not sign a recall of Act 10, right? He didn't try to recall the legislation that he is now overseeing. He's trying to recall a person, Scott Walker.
Come on,
there could
man,
be a
you
number
know
of reasons why you would recall Scott Walker. Some might recall him just because he's the Republican. You know, there's a lot of that going on in this world. So to put that on him is a stretch too far. You may as well say, oh, he voted, so he can't be in this case, which, of course, is asinine. It's a bunk issue to me. No, you don't recall. You don't step down because of that. And number two, if you Republicans make us think about it, are you kidding me? Look at your judges. Look at Eileen Cannon. Look at Alito on the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't want to hear it. These are very specific issues. They have cases on them. The guy was playing the U.S. flag upside down, just like the J6ers. So, and he's decided not to recuse and blamed his wife again today, but we'll perhaps get into that later. So, number one, no, it was a recall petition, period. He has the right to do that. Doesn't mean one thing one way or another. He's exercising his right to engage in the voting process. We have a right to do that. Number two, you guys have nowhere to stand on any of these kinds of issues, given the fact that you are hiding behind Eileen Cannon and Alito and Thomas and go on and go on. So that's my opinion. No, you do not step aside.
Well, let me be your devil's advocate just for a minute, Tom, on this.
All right.
Both of your poorly made headers. Okay. I want to get, of course, signing the Walker recall was something of a litmus test. You know, which side are you on, my friend? And I would say it is clearly symbolic. If you signed off on it, it was clearly symbolic. It wasn't you didn't like Republicans. It was you didn't like the policies of this specific Republican. He did so without warning. He twisted and perverted the rules of the state of Wisconsin and jammed it down our throats. That's what brought the 100,000 protesters. That's what garnered 900,000 plus signatures, Dom. It wasn't people don't like Republicans, so we recall them, or they'd be more successful at recalling Robin Voss. Right? This isn't the example. Honor, it's Robin Voss.
Projecting onto the reason why people would sign the recall. Yes, that could be a reason, but not certainly the only reason. Lots of reasons why people didn't like Scott Walker. Right?
Did you sign the recall?
Yes.
Let me frame you.
Yes.
Did you sign the recall?
No, hang on. Are there lots of reasons why people would have wanted to recall Scott Walker, in your opinion?
Sure.
Divide and conquer.
But, yeah,
right.
But okay. Most of that didn't come out until after. I mean, God, the guy had barely taken office. He's inaugurated in January. He drops the bomb on what? Super Bowl Sunday? Has the staff come on down and tells him, I'm dropping the bomb tomorrow morning. The Act 10 legislation. Well, that was pretty damn quick, Dom, and he certainly didn't run on it. We knew he might have run to kill the high-speed rail or, you know, the expansion of broadband internet, because that internet thing, that's never going to stick around.
I don't know if that's going to last.
But the action to take away the voices, the collective bargaining voices of the private sector workers in the state of Wisconsin. Well, that was a big deal, man. And a lot of us stood with them, even if we weren't clearly affected. I wasn't clearly affected. I'm not a state employee. And I wasn't even a private sector union employee. They were never coming for me, Don. But guess what? I signed the recall petition. And Scott Walker and the Republican Party that has been in control, in no small part because of the gerrymander, they have held it against every single person that signed that petition. So I share your conclusion. I will concur that no way in hell should this judge, this Dane County appointed judge, should he recuse himself on this case. But I would point out the act of signing the recall petition, that wasn't anti-Republicanism. That was anti-Scott Walker and probably a direct response to Act 10. And in a different time and age, I would suggest perhaps, sir, you should recuse yourself because it's the appearance. And why make that an issue? I'm sure there are plenty of Dane County District Court judges that did not sign a recall petition because they knew or already had the position. Now, that was clearly prior. That was 2012, right?
Come on.
This guy wasn't a judge till 2020. You're allowed to have a prior life. But if the case you catch is about a specific thing that you've shown a public notion through your symbolic signing of a recall Scott Walker petition, I don't think the ask to recuse is untoward.
It is absolutely. I mean, if the guy went out and voted for Scott Walker's opponent, which he presumably did, would that be a disqualifying issue? Because, I mean, Scott Walker's the guy that, based on what you're saying, was the guy that...
But signing a recall petition is a public act, and voting is a private act. You don't know who someone voted for.
But you know someone voted. So, okay, what does that have to do with it?
Well, as a judge, you've made a public statement. Kind of like Alito flying his freak flag upside down, right? That's a public statement. That's a bridge too far. You're not supposed to cast your politics. Now, this preceded this man's
right, okay,
joining of the court. But if the specific case is about the most political public thing you've ever done, unless you know you struck the went streaking on the quad or something, let's presume the signing of a recall petition is the most public symbolic statement this person has ever made. Because there's been very few analogous circumstances where you cast your politics through a public action.
He could have very well signed a petition to get Barrett onto the ballot. Would you consider that the same?
That's not the same. Signing someone's...
Why not? You're signing specifically, you're backing a political party, you're backing a specific philosophy that you expect that...
Because signing Tom Barrett's...
And it's a public record. Your issue is that it's public. That is also public. Do you think that qualifies to the same level that a recall petition? And if not, why?
Signing Tom Barrett's qualifying petition? I mean, everyone should have the right to qualify for the ballot. I don't think there should be any restrictions, although you're supposed to only sign one for each office, right? But what I'm saying is there's no harm. And even a Scott Walker, not that that probably happened, but a reasonable human being could sign a petition for someone they didn't support. But you're not going to sign a recall petition if you don't support the motion. You know,
Have you ever signed a
clipboard someone gave you at a public fair without truly knowing the complexities of the issue or the candidates involved?
Oh, man. Oh, okay. That same unknown or blasé walking around, oops, accidentally signed it. I mean, that could be applied to anything, including the recall petition itself.
Curtis. That's you know, I don't think the public was unaware that Scott Walker was being recalled. That's going to draw my attention on a recall ballot much more so than somebody running for assembly in the 93rd Assembly District.
Sure, maybe for you, that might be the case, but you don't speak for everyone, and everyone has the right to their own individuality to decide whether or not they want to engage and whether or not they want to sign a document, be it a paper for them to get on the ballot or be that forget a piece of paper to get them removed from office.
Tom Barrett never had to gather more than a couple thousand signatures, maybe 3,000 max. So I have never seen that specific circumstance play out where someone signing some other candidate's qualifying petition is somehow disqualifying from litigation 10 years, 12 years down the road.
Right. It seems if that's not the case, then why would a recall be any different?
A, over 900,000 people did so. And to sign that recall petition, and I encourage people to sign it at the time, as you well know.
You were
on the other side of this issue. But I got to tell you, that was a public statement. You were laying down your colors. You're either a Blood or a Crypt, man. There's no middle ground on the Scott Walker recall petition. And if you chose to take a public step like that to say, yes, this guy is so god-awful, I want him gone, I think he should be removed from office. I'm not voting against him. I'm removing his ass.
Your only issue is that it was made public. If the guy stood up and said, yes, I voted for Tom Barrett because I don't think Scott Walker deserves to be in office. He could have had those. He wasn't a judge then. I'm sure he had.
He could have had a Tom Barrett sign in his yard, which would also be a public display.
Exactly.
But would be a little harder to quantify a decade later.
10 years later, that comes up. And let's get to it real quick before we lose time in the segment. As reported at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Molly Beck and Daniel Bice. Thank you, folks. We appreciate that. The lawsuit argues the 2011 law violates equal protection guarantees in the state constitution by dividing public employees into two classes, general and public safety. Public safety employees are exempt from the collective bargaining limitations imposed on the general public employees.
Which showed the hypocrisy of the entire Act 10 process, because if you were on Scott Walker's team, you were exempted from the Act 10. Think of what Scott Fitzgerald's dad and the state patrol people, they were exempted, right? So if it was truly a budget crisis that needed this rapid fire legislative process that was jammed down the people's throats, well, you know, then you can't exempt people. And I think that this question of this exemption, why were some exempted? Why are they being treated differently under law? Well, I think that's got teeth.
I think it does too. And putting this, and my position at the time was, you know, the guy, they passed legislation. The legislation is legal, it goes through. Well, you're going to recall someone every time you don't like the legislation that they pass. It will never end. That was my general position. But of course, upon reflection, what I realized is we're always in election season, man. It never ends. It is always with us.
Let me ask you this. If reasonable people, and I'm going to throw you in that category for argument's sake.
All right. Thank you.
If reasonable people can agree at the
I think I can understand.
That the hypocrisy, the conflict, that there's perhaps teeth in this lawsuit because Scott Walker exempted the public safety employees under the Act 10, treated state employees differently under law. Well, that's the there, right? That gives good cause. Can we assume that a non-biased jurist, a judge who was not appointed after signing the recall petition, could probably find the same incongruencies and rule? And we don't even know how this judge is going to rule.
No.
But I'm just saying, for the sake of argument, a recusal just moves it down the line to the next guy who probably didn't sign a recall petition. Eileen Cannon should have recused. Alito should recuse. This guy, maybe he should recuse. Not because he has to, but because he should.
I absolutely disagree, especially in today's environment. 10 years ago, man, the guy signed a recall petition against a politician. We don't know. The reasons behind that could be infinite. The question is the law as it stands in front of him. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you know, it really comes down to Janet Protasiewicz. Will she recuse? Because that's the only vote that matters. She's effectively the swing vote on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And if
why should she recuse?
I don't know. She said she would if the Democratic Party were the litigants. You know they're going to argue this just benefits the Dems. More Devils. 844-967-2789. Your opinions, probably better than Dom's.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a little party up in here. Love it when you join us on the lines, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, for the uninitiated in heavy metal, is that the aforementioned Slayer?
That was Slayer, not Slaughter. We played Slaughter earlier. That was Slayer. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you for drawing distinction for the uninitiated. You know, not we'll guys like me and Rich.
We'll bring you along. A little bit more crudy.
I don't have the hair to be a heavy metal guy. I'm just saying.
Oh, come on, man. Lead singer, Rob Halford, Judas Priest, man, lost his hair a long time ago. Totally bald, man. Bald rock. He's got a tattoo on his skull, bro. It's totally fine. You could be. It's not about the hair, man. It's about the attitude, brother.
And don't I have enough tude for you? I've got attitude. Unfortunately, it's like stepdad attitude.
Oh my God! Go away!
You kids, get off my lawn! Loud noises.
Molly Beck, Daniel Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about this. Judge Frost, who has this Act 10 case, they go on, and we brought some conversation to it. Let's see what they have to say. Evers, the governor, today said he did not think that Frost's signature on the Walker recall petition justified a recusal. The governor said, I don't think so. Recusal is kind of a death knell of the judiciary. Let's just let it play out. Now, we're reminded in 2012, former Dane County Judge David Flanagan drew criticism for not disclosing he'd signed a Walker recall petition while overseeing a case involving the state's voter ID law signed by Walker. The state Republican Party ultimately filed a judicial ethics complaint against him. At the time, former Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Charles Kahn told the Journal Sentinel he would disclose that he had signed the petition and likely recused, but stressed judges have a free speech right to participate such activities. Quote, I don't belong to any party or back anyone in particular, against Walker, Kahn said in 2012. I just think as a matter of public policy, the voters should get to decide. Other Republicans can run too. I didn't sign as a judge, Kahn said. I signed as a voter who's voted in almost every election for more than 40 years. The question of whether to recuse from cases involving the polarizing law arose during the 2023 race for Wisconsin Supreme Court when Justice Janet Protasiewicz said while campaigning she would consider stepping away from cases involving the law because she signed a petition to recall Walker and participated in protests against the law. I'd have to think about it, Protasiewicz told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in March of 23. Given the fact that I marched and given the fact that I signed the recall petition, would I recuse myself? Question mark? Maybe.
Let me ask you a question, Tom.
I don't know for sure.
Didn't Hagedorn draft Act 10?
Wasn't he
chief counsel to Governor Scott Walker?
Walker, yes, right.
So would that merit recusal? In my mind, I think Hagedorn should recuse. I think the Dane County judge should recuse. I think these judges should be recusing when there is the perception they might have conflict. But that is a naive and quaint notion in this day and age, Tom. So I'm just arguing for the perception of being a beyond reproach.
But the same with Hagedorn. However, he wasn't a judge at the time. You know, I mean,
when you're arguing about specific legislation that you drafted and it comes before the court, I got to think Hagedorn should bow out on that. Yes. Certainly if Proto Sawitz should consider bowing out for signing a recall petition, the guy that drafted the thing that motivated the 900,000 signatures should be considered of stepping away.
Standard. I mean, that would be fine. If Hagedorn, we're going to make a deal that people actually accept this appearance of impropriety and we all can agree on those levels. Sure. I like that idea. It's a quaint, awesome idea. It should really be like that. But that's not how it is.
Here's what I would say.
I don't want to go, to this fight with one hand behind our back when we're trying to be the righteous ones. Like, yeah, Alito, he's just fine. Cannon, she's just fine. Hagedorn, that's fine. No big deal. Oh, my God, Justice Proto. Yo, give me a break. If you can't apply it, if you're not going to apply it to yours, you want to apply it to mine.
Let me show a little judicial independence here. Hagedorn, on the court, I've had no major qualms with any of his rulings. Barring when the 4-3 ruling said least change map was Tony Evers' map and effectively Hagedorn endorsed through his 4-3 ruling, through the majority ruling, endorsed the Tony Evers maps. And then it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court and they said, you got to find a different conclusion. And Hagedorn was the one that effectively reversed himself, did a 180 in the face of opposition. Well, he didn't have to completely change. I mean, if you've cast the maps predicated on a least change, yes, you have to react in some way, shape, or form, but you don't have to do a 180, Hagedorn. So, whatever judicial independence I thought he had demonstrated earlier, and certainly being the 4-3 vote, I mean, you don't even know how crazy the politics are. Hagedorn's kid went to prom with Rebecca and Joel Clayfish's kid. Somebody flew a picture down to Mar-a-Lago to taunt Donald Trump so Donald Trump would fly up to Wisconsin and endorse Tim Michaels against Rebecca Clayfish in Waukesha County because, of course, the crime of the father cast upon the son, Hagedorn's old man, was the 4-3 vote that voted not to throw out 200,000 absentee ballots in Milwaukee and Dane County. Said this is a remedy that... it's really beyond reason, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to give Hagedorn a little credit where credit is due. I know the right has hated his ass because he has shown a little judicial independence. But let's not forget, he wrote Act 10. He's on the team. And if he said, I'm capable of not recusing either of these judges, just so I'm clear, Hagedorn or the judge in Dane County, I will accept their reasoning in a 900-page memo in triplicate. Please, have your homework on my desk by the end of the day.